Well, welcome to the online version of the Pastor's Thoughts, also known as The Word is the Way to Life. Jesus Christ is the Word. He became flesh and dwelt among us, and He has shown us the way to salvation. Hallelujah. What a joyful day this is today. We're still studying the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're all the way up to chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. Hear God's word, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. And the subtitle of this is Thoughts on Wisdom and Folly. Hear God's word. Here is another bit of wisdom that has impressed me. As I have watched the way of our world works, there was a small town with only a few people living in it, and a great king came with his army and besieged it. There was a poor wise man living there who knew how to save the town. So it was rescued. But afterward, no one thought any more about him. And then I realized that though wisdom is better than strength, those who are wise will be despised if they are poor. What they say will not be appreciated for long. But even so, quiet words of a wise person are better than shouts of a foolish king. A wise person can overcome weapons of war, but one sinner can destroy much that is good. Wow, some wonderful wisdom from the teacher, Solomon. You know, he links the presence and the different sides of an argument. That's what I love about Solomon. He considers the same facts first from one angle and then another angle. Similar with his writings in Proverbs. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, which we looked at some time ago, his topic was the harm that arbitrarily and unjust rulers may do and how they handle them. But I love the buts and the ifs. But then he shifted his perspective, raising the question of whether God is partly responsible for such injustice. Well, after all, when God leaves the wicked unpunished, does that not encourage other in wickedness? I wonder. I've been watching the news lately, and it's crazy. The ones that seem to be doing all the wickedness get away with it, don't they? Well, I know eventually God will take care of them, but I digress. And why do the righteous sometimes get what the wicked deserve? That's a thought, too. Chapter 9, he continued to focus on the injustice and unpredictability that often mark God's world. He described evil times. Times when catastrophes engulf people and human life seems to be all alarming cheap. Yeah. But today's passage gives a different perspective. You know, yeah, disasters occur in God's world, and we know that for sure, but they are often the result of human folly. The teacher makes his point by telling a story involving one of the greatest human catastrophes, invasion and war. Wow, I don't know. We've seen enough of war. Thank God it's not been on our land here. But boy, the wars around the world and the harm and the catastrophe, the human catastrophes. Well, I digress again. A powerful king, he said, laid siege to a small city with few inhabitants. But, I love the buts, there was an unexpected outcome. A man, poor, but he was wise, rescued the city by his wisdom. Now, Solomon gives no details, and all we're told is that this man used his wisdom to bring about the king's plans to see nothing. But once the crisis was passed, people forgot about him. Instead of honoring him, they ignored him. Well, the teacher generalizes that point, doesn't he? Wise advice can do much good, but only if others listen and act accordingly. And a fool or a wicked person may undo all the good that the wise of life may do. People. I love people, especially old people. But people are always our problems, aren't they? And if we didn't have people problems, we wouldn't have any problems at all. As I used to say when we were in the car business and some of the employees complained about this customer and that customer, I used to always remind them, you know, if we didn't have people problems, we wouldn't have no problems at all, and then we wouldn't have a job either. But people may be swayed by style rather than substance, paying attention to whoever makes the most noise or seems to be the most impressive. So, the results may be terrible. You think about Rehoboam, whose single act of folly caused the division in the kingdom of Israel, 1 Kings chapter 12. Think of the prophets who warned of the judgment, but were ignored in favor of other prophets who promised deliverance. Think about Jeremiah 28 and Ezekiel 13. Think of the demigods like Stalin, Hitler, Mao, Pol Pot, and a whole list of others who persecuted their people to follow insane policies that cost millions of lives. So, yeah, many puzzling and unfair and even outrageous things happen in God's world. We're in the world, not of the world. I like what Jesus said. We're in the world, not of the world. So we got to deal with these worldly things. But then, fear not, he said, because I've overcome the world. So God does allow these things to happen, but we should also not forget the parts played by human stupidity and wickedness. Wow. One sinner destroys much good, the teacher says. So, if we are tempted to blame God for the world's manifest ills, I think we should remember the saying, you probably heard it, when we point a finger at somebody else, there are three fingers pointing back at us. I like that, because it's so true. But think about it. Can you think of examples sometimes of wrong or foolish behavior? I'm sure you can. On your part, that maybe had serious and perhaps irreparable consequences? And what have you learned from these incidents? You know, that's why we take the Word of God and share it and different things, because we are, like I said, in the world, not of the world. And we have these things that we got to deal with. So consider what Solomon is teaching. And not only what he is teaching, but consider his teaching style. He doesn't lay his cards on the table all at once, but only gradually does he reveal what he thinks, leaving his readers perplexed for a while. And then, it all comes together. Are there advantages to this kind of teaching style? I think that there is. And if you are a teacher, it is a style that maybe you might consider adopting. How would you do it? Well, you know, we're all teachers. We're all responsible for one thing or another, whether we're teaching our children as they grow up or teaching an employee or anybody, maybe a next door neighbor. We are always encouraging one another, teaching and sharing. So it's a wonderful thing. I love Solomon. You heard me say that before. And we're getting close to chapter 12 when he puts this all together and then he makes sense of it. Well, I hope and pray you stay tuned to The Word is the Way to Life, because I am looking forward to the conclusion also. Well, we do also lift up on this website prayers, and you can click on the slides on the website and it'll take you over to where we have people listed that we know about. But as I always said, you know, you don't need a prayer list. You don't need a preacher. You don't need a 1-800 number. You are a child of the living God, and he has given you access to the Holy of Holies. When Jesus was on the cross and when he gave up the ghost, there was an earthquake, and the veil in the temple, which was there to prevent lay people to go back into the Holy of Holies, only the priests could go back there, So you had to have a priest to go and talk to God, basically. But when Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross, that earthquake, and the veil in the temple was rent in two, signifying, come on in, guys. You are forgiven. My son has paid the price, and you got direct access to me. Learn to talk to God, because God wants to talk to you. That's all prayer is. And he gave us a model prayer. Now, I like to call this the disciples' prayer, because he was teaching the disciples how to pray. Well, they asked him, Lord, can you teach us to pray? He said, I'm going to give you a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with as we pray that prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hope and pray you're having a good day. God loves you, and so do we.